In our previous shiur, today's shiur is Daf Kuf Yud Zayin, Masechet Bava Basra, we begin right at the beginning of the Gemara Tanan. In our previous shiur, we discussed that the Torah teaches us the parasha of the Benoit Tzolofchad, that the Benoit Tzolofchad, father Tzolofchad, passed away without having any sons, and they came to Moshe Rabbeinu to discuss if and how much and what shiur they deserve in Eretz Yisrael. Which leads the Gemara into a lengthy sugya discussing exactly how Eretz Yisrael was divided, who were the people, and what shares did they get as they entered Eretz Yisrael and divided Eretz Yisrael. The specific issue that troubles the Gemara is that there are really two psukim that contradict each other. One pasuk says, L'shmois matos avosam yinchalu, which means that Eretz Yisrael is divided to the people who left Mitzrayim. The other pasuk, which was said in Arvus Mayav, before Klai Yisrael was going to enter Eretz Yisrael, a census was taken in Arvus Mayav, and the pasuk uses the words L'eila techalei ka'aretz, which means that Eretz Yisrael will be divided to the people who actually enter Eretz Yisrael. So essentially we have two different psukim. One pasuk seemingly teaching us that Eretz Yisrael was divided liyotzei Mitzrayim, to those that left Mitzrayim. Another pasuk seems to be teaching us lebaye ha'aretz, that Eretz Yisrael was divided up to those that were actually going to enter Eretz Yisrael. And as Mefarshim teach us, the actual Eretz Yisrael was divided into 12 portions. One portion for every shevet. Our discussion in the Gemara here is after we now have these 12 portions, each shevet getting his shear, how were the particular shears divided up internally? And now we have this machlokes. Rabbi Yoshi's opinion is that the Yisrael was divided up li yoytze Mitzrayim, to those people that left Mitzrayim. Rabbi Yonasan's opinion, and each one of these opinions we're going to discuss in greater length as we get into our shiur, Be'ezer Hashem. Rabbi Yonasan's opinion is that it was divided up L'boye Ha'aretz, to those people that entered Eretz Yisrael. And Rabbi Shimon Elazar's opinion, as we're going to see, is that it was divided up both L'yotzei Mitzrayim and L'boye Ha'aretz. What is the basis of the Machlokes? So the simple way of explaining the Machlokes is as the Sifsei Chachamim explains the Machlokes. The man the Amar that holds that it was given to Yotzei Mitzrayim is because since HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised it to them, and when HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a promise, he keeps his word, so to speak. So if he promised them that they're going to be getting Eretz Yisrael, they will get it. The other man the Amar holds that it only makes sense that the people who actually enter Eretz Yisrael should be the people that get the shears in Eretz Yisrael. That's one way of understanding the Machlokes. The Ein Yaakov, I saw, has a different way of understanding the Machlokes. He says that the question that this Machlokes depends on is what was the main schus through which Klai Yisrael were privileged to receive Eretz Yisrael. The Mandam that says that it was L'yotzei Mitzrayim holds because they went through a hard labor and the golus of Mitzrayim. And so to speak, in payment for that, they received Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, Eretz Yisrael is divided L'yotzei Mitzrayim. The other Mandalmer, however, holds that it was given because they agreed to accept the Torah and do the mitzvahs, which only came later. And therefore, it was given L'beyei Ha'aretz. That's what the Ben, the Ein Yaakov explains the Machlokes. The Ben Yehoyada explains the Machlokes differently. He says as follows: we all know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram Avinu, "Vavodim ve'inu ha'isam arba me'eshanim," and the Klai Yisrael will be in Golus and suffer hard labor for 400 years. But actually, they were in Mitzrayim only for 210 years. So how do we reconcile, so to speak, the missing 190 years? One pshat is kishya shivud, that even though they were Mitzrayim only for 210 years, they worked so hard during those 210 years, it's like 400 years. So if so, they, so to speak, did their time. They worked the hard, the 400 years, and therefore they, the Yotzei Mitzrayim, are the ones that deserve Eretz Yisrael. The other man, Amar, however, holds that what completed the 210 years, the fact that they were willing to go into the Midbar, as the Pasuk says, Beretz Loi Zeruah, in a desolate desert, and that was the main reason that was Mashlim, that completed the 400 years that they had to suffer, and therefore those people, the Bayei Aretz, are the ones that are deserving Eretz Yisrael. So says the Gemara, Tanan, our Mishnah that has a discussion and teaches us that the Bnei Tzolofchad were deserving of a share in Eretz Yisrael. Now, it's not because of themselves, because they are women, and women did not receive a portion of Eretz Yisrael. Why were they requesting, and why were they deserving of a portion of Eretz Yisrael? Command, Tanan, our Mishnah clearly follows the opinion that Yitzhak was given to those that left Mitzrayim. So even though the Bnei Tzolofchad themselves were not deserving a portion of Yitzhak, they deserved a portion because of the father Tzolofchad, their grandfather Hefer, who were from the Yotzei Mitzrayim. So our Mishnah clearly follows the opinion of that Yitzhak was divided up to the Yotzei Mitzrayim, comments the Gemara. The Mepharshim point out, why does the Gemara say Tanan command the Omer Leyotzi Mitzrayim? Why does the Gemara say Tanan Rabbi Oshia? That we're going to learn in a minute that it's actually Rabbi Oshia's opinion that it's so is divided up Leyotzi Mitzrayim. Answer the Mepharshim, because it doesn't necessarily have to follow the opinion of Rabbi Oshia. As we quoted in our introductory remarks, there is also the opinion of Shim ben Elazar. The Rav Shim ben Elazar's opinion is that it was divided both to the Yotzi Mitzrayim and the Bayei Aretz. So our Mishnah could be follow his opinion also. We're not locked into following Rabbi Oshia's opinion. And that's why all the Gemara says is Tanan, that our Mishnah follows the opinion, the Yotzei Mitzrayim, the Schalk Aretz. The Tanya, as we learned in a Braisa, Rabbi Oshia, it is Rabbi Oshia's opinion, the Yotzei Mitzrayim, the Schalk Aretz, that Yisrael was divided to the people that left Mitzrayim. Shinema, as the Pasuk says, L'shmois matei avoysom yincholu. That Israel is divided to those that left at Mitzrayim. Aye, as we said earlier, El Mayan and Mikayim, how will Rabbi Oshia deal with the Pasuk that was said by Arvis Moyev right before they were entering at Israel that says, La'ela t'chalei ka'aretz b'nachla, that at Israel should be given to those that are actually entering at Israel? It says the Gemara, La'ela ke'ela. La'hoitzi satfalim. What it means to say is that children are excluded. Machlokes Rishonim, how to understand what the Gemara means when it says Lahoitzias Atfalim. Rajbam's explanation is as follows. Rabbi Yoshi's opinion is that Eretz Yisrael was divided Lahoitzay Mitzrayim. But if let's say somebody, as they left Mitzrayim, was not yet 20 years old, he would not be an individual that deserves a share in Eretz Yisrael. So the Pasuk is teaching us that even though we're giving it to the Yotzei Mitzrayim, the person had to be 20 years old when they left Mitzrayim. That's one pshat. Another pshat is the Rabbeinu Gershom's pshat. He says the people that were entering Eretz Yisrael, the people that left Mitzrayim weren't getting shear in Eretz Yisrael physically. They were all no longer alive. Who was physically getting the shear in Eretz Yisrael? Their descendants. So who is considered a Yairish? Who is considered a descendant that is deserving of a share in Eretz Yisrael because he's a Yairish of the Yotzei Mitzrayim? Specifically someone who is now at least 20 years old. But if he is not now 20 years old, even though he's a descendant of the Yotzei Mitzrayim, he will not get a share in Eretz Yisrael. We're going to learn with the Rajbam Pshat. Rabbi Yonasan disagrees with Rabbi Yishia's opinion. Rabbi Yonasan Oymer Leboyo Ha'oretz Neschalke Oretz. Eretz Yisrael was given to the people that actually came to Eretz Yisrael. Shnemar, as the Pasuk says, La'ela t'charet t'cholak aretz b'nachla, as the Pasuk says in Arvis Moyav, that the people who actually are entering will get the shear. But if so, how will Rabbi Yonasan explain the Pasuk Elmani Mikayim Bushmois Mata Avoisa Michalo, that we give it to the people that actually left Mitzrayim, says Rabbi Yonasan, that this is a unique situation. Meshura Nachlzu Mikol Nachlishab Oilam. This Yerusha is very different from all other situations of Yerusha. Shekol Nachlishab Oilam, we've been learning Paragish Nachlan Ray for a while. And how does a Yerusha typically work? Chayim Yerusha Mason. What happens is, we have a person that passes away, Rechman Otzlan, and he has Yerushim. Chayim Yerushim, and those living descendants, we've been discussing at great length, the line of succession, are the people, the living descendants, the living Yerushim, Yerushim, the person who passed away. However, the Khan, what happened over here is, Mesim Yerushim Chayim. The dead people, Yerushim, the living people. We have here a very fundamental machloikis, Rashbam and Rashi, and how to understand the Gemara. The Rashbam explains the Gemara as follows. There were two brothers, Reuven and Shimon, who were from the Yotzei Mitzrayim, the left Mitzrayim. And they, Reuven, had 10 sons that actually lived and entered into Eretz Yisrael. Shimon had one. So according to the Rashbam's understanding, what happens is, these 11 individuals enter Eretz Yisrael, and they get 11 portions. But they don't keep those 11 portions. They give them back, so to speak, to their fathers, Reuven and Shimon, who now divided amongst themselves, Reuven getting 5.5, Shimon getting 5.5. And what happens in the end result is that the person who ended up with who was only one, Shimon, who had one son, his son ends up with 5.5 portions. But Reuven, who had 10 sons, his 10 sons only end up with 5.5 portions. The difficulty with the Rashbam's pshat is that if there are two brothers, Reuven and Shimon, and now their children are alive and get shares in Eretz Yisrael, if it reverts back, what Reuven's son gets, and what Shimon gets, son gets, revert back to Reuven and Shimon. Why do Reuven and Shimon, who are only brothers, recombine and now divide? They're brothers. If two brothers are in the world and they die, so one brother's children yashin him, and the other brother's children yashin him. They don't recombine. That's the difficulty with the Rashbam's pshat. And in fact, the way the Rashbam and the Rivah defend themselves is that it was a gzeiras hakasef. It was a special situation, even though what does one brother's Yerusha have to do with the other brother's Yerusha? This is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that Eretz Yisrael should be divided. But Rashi, because of this question, has a different approach. Rashi's approach is that indeed, if we're a situation that we just described, that Reuven and Shimon were brothers, and Reuven left 10 children that entered Eretz Yisrael, and Shimon left one son that entered Eretz Yisrael, then each one would keep his, those 10 sons keep their 10, and then one son keeps his. Reuven and Shimon are just brothers, they're not really connected. What happened in the Gemara, according to Rashi's understanding, is that their grandfather, Yaakov, was from the Yotzei Mitzrayim. So what happens is when Reuven's sons and Shimon's son get these 11 portions, these 11 portions revert back to Yaakov, because he was from the Yotzei Mitzrayim. Now, who are the Yorshim of Yaakov? His sons, Reuven and Shimon. So if Yaakov has two Yorshim, Reuven and Shimon, they each get 5.5, like any situation with the two sons. Let's leave Bechayri to the side for this conversation. And now, their children, Reuven's children and Shimon's children, continue to Yorshim them. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara. Because the Gemara doesn't seem to follow, according to Rashbam, that there's three generations. The Rashi adds a whole new generation that the Gemara doesn't seem to mention. What is the nafgamina? Practical nafgamina. If according to Reb Yonasan, it's going back to the previous generation, and according to Rabbi Yishai, it's going to the Yotzei Mitzrayim, so what is the nafgamina between the two of them? So Mefarshim make point out a number of nafkaminas. The simple nafkamina is as follows. If there were more Yotzi Mitzrayim than Boya Yoritz, or vice versa, there were more Boya Yoritz than Yotzi Mitzrayim. So when we divide up the portions of Etz Yisrael, how many portions do we divide it up accordingly? According to Rabbi Oshia, the only thing that's taken into consideration are the Yotzi Mitzrayim. The amount of people who were Yotzi Mitzrayim, and actually there's even a machlokes, how we count the Yotzi Mitzrayim. Do we count actually the people who left Mitzrayim, or do we follow the census that was done in the second year after they left Mitzrayim? But whatever number we use, that is the number. Right, the difference would be Erev, difference would be Leviim. There would be a lot of the numbers weren't exactly the same. Then, whatever that number is, that's the amount of portions that the Yisrael is divided up into. On the other hand, according to Rabbi Yonasan, Etz Yisrael is divided up into the number of Boi Ha'aretz. Yes, afterwards it reverts back to the Yotzi Mitzrayim, whether the grandfather, the father, whatever pshat that we're going to use. But what is the number of actual portions that Etz Yisrael is divided up into? It's divided up into the Boi Ha'aretz. That's one glaring nafkamina between Rabbi Yishai and Rabbi Yonasan. There's another nafkamina. If we say, like Rabbi Yonasan, that we divide it according to the Boi Ha'aretz, who are the people, and then afterwards only it reverts back to the Yotzi Mitzrayim, who are the Boya Ha'aretz that we divided up accordingly? We divided only according to men who are over 20 years old. Women, children, have no place in this count. If, however, we follow the opinion of Rabbi Yishai, that we say that we divided according to the Yotzi Mitzrayim, and then the regular Hilchos Yerusha kick in, so we've been learning that women could be Yarshim. Certainly children could be Arshim, and therefore would have children and women would be able to receive portions according to Rabbi Oishi's Pshat, not according to Rabbi Yonasan's Pshat. Those are the main nafkaminas between these two Pshat. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rebbe, Pasha Pshat, Rebbe is now coming to give us a mashal to understand what Rabbi Yonasan said. Emshalcha mashal amah David Omer. How do we understand this situation? We understand the situation. We know that Kohanim are entitled to the Matas Kuhuna, which are typically given out at the granary, because most of the Matas Kuhuna involve produce. So we had a situation. The Shnei Achim Kohanim, two brothers were Kohanim, Shoye Ber Echas, that were one city. Lechad Yeshle Ben Echad, one had one son, Vechad Yeshle Shnei Bonim, and the other one had two sons. V'ochul Gar, and these three children, the one with one son and the one with two sons, these three cousins, so to speak, brothers and cousins, go to the Goyrin, Zeshesh the Ben Echad, the one that has one son, Noitel Chelk Echad, gets one portion. Vezeshesh the Shtei Bonim, the one that has two sons, Noitel Shleich Halakim, because they're two boys picking up grain. And now, Umarzir Neitzel Avir, when they come back to the father, Chayz Rechalk Meshava, they divide it in half, that the two brothers that send the children will end up one with one and a half and one with one and a half, even though this one son brought him two portions and this son brought him one portion. So again, to understand this Gemara, we need to think. Could the Zera Yitzchak Chanan, in approaching this Gemara, has a fundamental problem. He says, but Dera Klau, usually, when the Gemara gives us a mashal, that means we have a problem. We have a problem in having a difficulty in understanding the Gemara. So the way the Gemara helps us understand is by giving us a mashal, by giving us an analogy. What is the mashal in this Gemara helping us understand that we had a difficulty understanding till now? What's the Gemara trying to help us understand? So this is the way this is what I think with the Zera Yitzchak, how the Zera Yitzchak is answering. If we think about Rabbi Yonasan's opinion, it's a very difficult opinion to understand. Particularly, we follow the Rajbam's opinion. Here we have 10 people deserving 10 portions. Here we have one person deserving one portion. What happens? The one individual, the one son, will get 5.5, and the 10 will get 5.5. Where's the equality here? What's happening here? How is this the way something is divided? If we say, like Rabbi Yishai, that then we just look at the Yotzei Mitzrayim. So we look at the Yotzei Mitzrayim. So somebody has a father who left him big Yerusha, and somebody else never has a father who didn't live in the big Yerusha. What does one have to do with the other? I had a rich father, you had a poor father, what should I tell you? But here, we're saying that this person got 10 chalakim. The sons of Reuven are 10 sons. They got 10 chalakim, and they end up losing almost half of what they got because they have a cousin, Shimon's son. What's happening here? How do we understand this? That's the problem that the Gemara was facing in understanding Rabbi Yonason's opinion. So how does the Gemara resolve it? The Gemara resolves it in the following manner. Let's say, and this is something that we could all understand, we have two individuals, or partners. Two individuals are partners in a business. And they decide to dissolve the business. They decide to split the business up. And let's say, a simple case, equal partners. Each one gets 50%. But it happens to be that one partner has only one son, and one partner has 10 sons. Would anybody say that the partner with 10 sons deserves more than 50%? Of course not. He owns 50% of the business, and he gets his 50%. The fact that he has 10 sons now, there are 10 people dividing that pie, so to speak, and the other one has only one son, and nobody else is dividing with him, that's nothing to do with the dissolution of the business. The business had two partners. That's what the Gemara is saying. When you have two kahanim, says the Gemara, sending the brothers, sending their children to pick up truma, to pick up matnas kuna, what is happening here? What the Gemara is saying is happening here is that those two brothers are the ones that the kohen is the one that the person who owns the granary wants to give the matnas kuna to. These are children. He doesn't know the children. Just what? He's sending what he wants to give those two kohanim who are brothers, who are partners. He needs to have a way to send it to them. So how does he send it? He sends it with the children that were sent to him to carry it back to their parents. But he's not looking at the children. The children aren't any more than a taxi. They aren't any more than just a method of how to get my truma to you, the kohanim. So of course, if he's giving whatever amount of truma that he's sending to the kohanim, and he has three people who are willing to carry it, he's going to divide it into three. It's the only practical way of doing it. Why would he divide it any other way? He has three carriers, so he divides the load in three. But he's not looking at, it's not the carriers, it's not the messenger who's the crucial individual here, who's the crucial party. The crucial party over here are the kohanim who I want to give my matnas kuna to. The same thing would happen with the when they left Mitzrayim. According to Rabbi Yonason, Rabbi Yonason will agree, say to Mefarshim, that the main people, the primary people that deserved the chelik in Eretz Yisrael were the Yotzei Oretz, the people that worked in Mitzrayim, the people that left Mitzrayim. The children that were using them to carry it back are no more than carriers. They're no more than carriers. But the partners are the ones that we look at. Who are the partners? The fathers, according to Rashbam. The grandfathers, according to Rashi. And that's what the Gemara is trying to help us understand. Some of us even go even a little deeper. And it's beautiful according to the Peshatim that we've been learning. They say, why, Taka, do I who own this granary not want to give it to the children, I want to give it to their parents? Because they explain that our Gemara is speaking about a situation that my relationship is with the parents. There's a halachic term for that. The halachic term for that is makire kahuna. They know me. We have a relationship. That's what happened here. Who were the makire kahuna? Who were those that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really knew, so to speak, if we could understand it this way, had a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Those that left Mitzrayim. The children are not more than messengers. They're not more than taxis, than car services. How to get it back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Mashal is teaching us. Rav Shimon Elazar, as I said at the beginning of the shir, has a whole different opinion. He is of the opinion that le'elu le'elu v'schalk aretz, that Yisrael was divided both to the Yotzei Mitzrayim and to the Bayei Aretz. What forces Rav Shimon Elazar, says the Gemara, to follow this opinion? K'dei l'kayim shnei mikros halalu. As we began the shir, there are two psukim. One pasuk seems to indicate that it was given to the Yotzei Mitzrayim. One pasuk seems to indicate it was given to the Bayaritz. How do I reconcile these two pasukim? Ha-Ketzat. Ha-Yom-Yoytzi Mitzrayim. If we have individual, those from the people that left Mitzrayim, so Noite-Chalka-Yoytzi Mitzrayim, he deserves a share with the Yoytzi Mitzrayim. If on the other hand, Ha-Yom-Yoytzi, if there's an individual who is from those that entered Eretz Yisrael, he would get a share, Noite-Chalka-Yoytzi, he's deserving of a share with the Bayaritz. Mikana mikan. Let's say we'll have an individual that is from both. Noitel chalkoi mikana mikan. He'll get a share both in as a yotzei aretz and as a boi aretz. And as the Rashbam and all the Rishonim point out, ostensibly there was really nobody that fell into that group of being mikana mikan, because everybody who left Mitzrayim passed away in the Midbar. Anybody else came to Yisrael. So how does the Gemara say, Hoyo Mikana Mikan, that you could be an individual that was both? So the simple teretz, as we're going to learn, were Yeshua and Kalev. But the Rishonim are dissatisfied with that teretz. The reason they're dissatisfied with that teretz is because it's difficult. Rav Shimon ben Elazar is saying a whole opinion that only refers to two individuals. How do we understand that Rav Shimon ben Elazar makes a whole category that only speaks to two people out of all of Klal Yisrael? So the Rashbam says a very interesting teretz. The Rashbam's teretz is as follows. You could have an individual that was miyotzei Mitzrayim and miboyei haaretz. Because he says as follows. Who were the people that were said that they would have to die in the Midbar? Anybody who was in the census. He was between 20 and 60. But let's say you'll have a person who was 60 years old when he left Mitzrayim. He isn't in the gzeirah that he has to die in the Midbar. And he could have left Mitzrayim and also entered Eretz Yisrael. He'd be 100 years old, but he could have entered Mitzrayim. So he's an individual that's miyotzei Mitzrayim and mibay haaretz. That's the Rashbam's teretz. The Rimagash says what Rabbi Shimon Elazar has come to teach us is just the opposite. You could have an individual who's kereach mikan mikan, who gets nothing. Why? Because let's say you have this person who wasn't 20 years old when he left Mitzrayim, so he doesn't get a share. Because I keep on saying only somebody who's 20 years old deserves a share in Eretz Yisrael, if he's from the Yoytzi Mitzrayim. So he doesn't get a share as Yoytzi Mitzrayim. He has a son who isn't 20 years old when they enter Eretz Yisrael. So he's not considered by Haaretz. Such individual, his family will be left with nothing. Because he's not getting because of Yoytzi Mitzrayim, because his father was too young when they left Mitzrayim. And he's not getting by Haaretz because he's too young when they're entering Eretz Yisrael. That's what Rav Shimon Elazar is teaching us. However, as we just said, Meraglim, the Meraglim, Yeshua the Kalev, not Luchelkom, Meraglim, as far as the Meraglim are concerned, Yeshuva Kalev not L'chalkam. Yeshuva Kalev got their share. Tomorrow will prove it from a Pasuk. Tomorrow's share. So I saw the Mefarshim say a beautiful Pshat, why the Meraglim lost their share in Eretz Yisrael. Mefarshim explained as follows. Panim Yofis says this Pshat. He says, we know, we've discussed this concept numerous times. There's a concept in halacha of kimlei v'derabbanei. If somebody does an aveira, does an act for which there are two punishments, we give them only the more severe punishment. There's one exception to that rule, where somebody does one act and he gets two punishments. A mitzi shemra. A mitzi shemra, the Torah teaches us explicitly, he gets malchus for being a mitzi shemra. And he has to pay knas. The Meraglim were Mitzi Shemra. They were Mitzi Shemra in Eretz Yisrael. Because they were Mitzi Shemra, they got a knas. They were killed. But they also lost Mammon. They lost their share in Eretz Yisrael. Who got their share? Kalev and Yeshua. However, says the Panim Yofis, beautiful Vart. He says, it's not that Kalev and Yeshua got their portion at the Yisrael and remained by Kalev and Yeshua forever. We didn't want the Meraglim and the Meraglim's children to get a Shir Netz Yisrael through the Meraglim. But what happened was, so when it came to Netz Yisrael, there were portions that were identified to be given to the Meraglim, but instead of giving them to the Meraglim, they were given to Kalev and Yeshua. And after Kalev and Yeshua passed away, says the Panim Yofes, they didn't go to Kalev and Yeshua's children, they went to the Meraglim's children. So Meraglim's children ended up with those portions, but they didn't get them from their father, they got it from Kalev and Yeshua. Panim Yofes says this. Continues the Gemara, Mislaininim, the people who complained, and again, in tomorrow's Shir Mitzvah Shem, we will identify who those individuals were. Vadas Kairim, Vadas Kairach, Kairach, again, we'll discuss tomorrow who is Adas Kairach, Lohoylam, Chelik Baritz, did not get a Shir in Eretz Yisrael. Habonim, their children, the children of Kairach, the children of the Mislaininim, Notlu, whatever portion they got in Eretz Yisrael, they only got B'schus Avi Aviem or B'schus Avi Imaseihem. Only if they had a grandfather from the paternal side or from the paternal side that died and they deserved the Yerusha, that's how they got a Shir. But nobody else. Now, the Meraglim went to Kalev and Yeshua. That also could happen, indeed. Now, a few points. One point is, the Mefarshim say, that this Gemara that says that the children of the Adas Kairach and the children of the Mislaininim did not get a Shir in Eretz Yisrael, Seir Mefarshim is only going according to the opinion of Yiloyotzi Mitzrayim Mischalk Aretz. So the Mislaininim and Kairach and his Eda, who were individuals who were from the Yotzi Mitzrayim, and therefore typically ought to receive a Shir Netz Yisrael, according to the opinion that says, L'yotzi Mitzrayim Nischalk Aretz, but because of their sin, they were deprived of that Shir. But if we say that Eretz Yisrael was divided, Rabbi Yonatan's opinion that we learned on that Aleph, that Eretz Yisrael was divided, L'yotzi L'bayahi Aretz, that who would get that Shir? The children would get it directly. So just because their parents were sinners, Mislaininim and Adas Kairach, it shouldn't affect them. And this opinion that the Gemara says that the Adas Kairach and the Mislaininim did not get a Shir is only going according to the opinion that the Yotzi Mitzrayim Mischalka Aretz. Another question is what happened with the Shir? What happened with the Shir? So Posh Pshat, since they were excluded, it just gave everybody a chance to get more. But there's a machlokes, what does that mean? Some mefarshim learn very simple. If, let's say, just for the sake of this discussion, that the amount of individuals who are in the category of Mislaininim and Adas Kairach were 500 people, so Eretz Yisrael had 500 less people that deserved a portion in Eretz Yisrael. That's a simple way of learning. However, some mefarshim take it a little further. They say that each one of these individuals belonged to another Shevet. So let's say those 500 individuals didn't all come evenly between the 12 Shvatim. Some Shvatim had more people in that group than others. So it's not fair, these Mefarshim suggest, that we should just throw back into the pot. Rather, every Shevet took into consideration the amount of people who were Mislaininim and Adas Kairach, and that Shevet had that many people less in the amount of people that they divided up the land with. But what one Shevet has nothing to do with the other Shevet. Says the Gemara, going back to the beginning of the Shir. My mashma, the high, l'shmois matas avoysom, b'yotz mitzrayim tziv. From the beginning of the Shir, we've been learning that there are two psukim. One pasuk says, l'shmois matas avoysom, and the other pasuk says, l'eila t'chala ka'orot. So the Gemara has been assuming throughout the Shir that Pasha Pshat in the words L'shmois Mata Avoysom means L'yotz Mitzrayim. Ask the Gemara why. Why? What forces us to say that it means L'yotz Mitzrayim? Maybe L'shmois Mata Avoysom means Bayei Aretz, the people that entered Eretz Yisrael. Again, my mashma, what is forcing us to explain that the words L'shmois mata avoysom b'yaitz Mitzrayim k'sif refers to those that left Mitzrayim. Dilma l'shvatim kamalai. Maybe the Torah means that the Yisrael, as I said earlier in the Shir, the beginning of the Shir, that the first thing that happened was that the Yisrael was divided into 12 shears for the 12 shvatim. Answer the Gemara, the k'sif, because the pasuk says, V'nosati oysam l'chem rosh ani Hashem, Yerushi l'chem avisechem. And who is he saying this? Yotze Kamalhu, Mitzrayim Kamalhu. So you see that the pasuk refers to Yotze Mitzrayim. Continues the Gemara. Simon, L'Rav, Tzlofet, V'yoyse, Ichbel, Menashe, Yechashev. Amma, Epapel, Rabaya. Bishlam, Amand, Amma, Yotze Mitzrayim, Mishal, Karetz. According to the opinion that holds that the soul is divided according to the amount of people that left Mitzrayim, Hanad, Iksiv, L'Rav, Tabinachlosoi, L'Mat, Tabinachlosoi, which means as follows. I really refer to this earlier in the Shia. We could have a situation, and actually we're going to discuss that situation in tomorrow's Shia, where when a Shevet left Mitzrayim, they could have had more individuals, and when they entered at Yisrael, there were less members of the Shevet. Or vice versa. You could have a Shevet that had less individuals when they left Mitzrayim, and the Shevet's population grew until they got into Yisrael. And the Torah is teaching us, L'Rav, the Shevet that was larger as they left Mitzrayim, the Harbin Nachlos will get a bigger share, even though now there are less members of that Shevet. And vice versa, L'Mat, the Shevet that had less members, even though that Shevet experienced a population growth, doesn't make a difference. Why do we follow? We follow the amount of individuals that were in that Shevet as they left Mitzrayim, Tamit Nachlosai. However, ask the Gemara, Elamand Omer, according to the opinion, L'boi Ha'aretz, that Eretz Yisrael was divided according to the amount of people that actually entered Eretz Yisrael, my L'Rav Tabin Nachlosai. How do we understand L'Rav L'Mat? Because as the Rashbam goes into great detail to explain, to teach us the basic rules, that Eretz Yisrael was divided into 12 parts for the 12 Shvatim, to teach us what we learned at great length earlier in the Shir, that we look at Reuven's son, the example that we gave, that Reuven had 10 sons, and Shimon had one son, and we divide it into 11 portions, and then it reverts back to their parents, all of that is already learned. So why do I need the Pasuk to teach us that? So the Gemara, Kasha, that is indeed a difficulty on the opinion that holds by ours. But as we always quote, there's a nafkamina when the Gemara uses the word tiyufta versus when the Gemara uses kasha. When the Gemara uses the words tiyufta, it means it's refuted. We don't have an answer to the question. Versus when the Gemara only uses the words kasha, it's a kasha, but tel kasha there's always a teretz.